Off the Ball.
GAA. When a group of players come together at the same time, when they're growing at the same time, when they're moving in the same direction, when they all have that same bit of hunger, I think that's a really powerful thing.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball.
Hello, folks. We are back. Welcome to Late Night League of Ireland, our first edition of the 2026 League of Ireland season. Hopefully, we don't suffer as many gremlins as we did in 2025. So just to make sure that you can all hear me out there, I'm going to see if my co-host and former League of Ireland winning manager, Vinnie Pert, is on the line. Can you hear me, Vinnie?
I can, Shane, yeah. So, talk about gremlins. This is new space for me, even using Twitter. Never mind being on this call. So, I'll do my very, very best. I tried to not get involved with this for as long as I could, but I bowed to the pressure.
You were eventually coerced into it, Vinny.
Absconded into it, yes.
Ah, listen, fair play. So, folks, listen, I suppose a reduced calendar. We've had one faller already, first night back, and we've had one faller to the weather with the Shamrock Rovers and Dundalk game falling by the wayside. But three games, all which featured goals tonight, and one game still to come, a big one to come in the Aviva still this Sunday. I'll quickly run through the results and then we'll dig deeper. I know Vinny is on the road on the way back from Waterford, so he'll be able to give us a great bit of insight into that one. I bounced around between a few different games, the Derry Sligo one, probably the one that I'd look to speak most on. But as ever, the star of the show really is you guys on the other end. Me and Vinny will have a very boring time chatting to each other all night unless we get you guys involved. So it'd be fantastic for as many of you as possible. Just hit the request to speak button down at the bottom and we'll get you in as we go along. But Vinny, I picked up some of yourself and Steve-O's commentary down in Waterford. Fair to say it had the look of a game of two halves?
Like the first 54 minutes, whatever the first goal went in, a second, the goal for Waterford ultimately went in. Shelbourne were absolutely outstanding, I felt. I spoke this week on the pod about expecting Shelbourne to go with a back three, and I don't know where that came from, just with the personnel, and he did that, and I thought he really exploited Waterford. They were absolutely outstanding. Daniel Kelly played on the left, which you'd know, Shane, wouldn't overly suit me, so right-footed. But he was a big threat down that side, and the bang on the other side was brilliant. But Casey looked a hell of a really good sign in a centre-half. That potentially be best bit of business all season by anybody.
I heard you raving about him. He really caught the eye, did he?
Yeah, I've watched him a little bit up the north as well, and a good friend of ours, John Gill, has seen a lot of him, and he spoke very highly of him. I know he was well sought after, but ultimately he's ended up a shell. But he looked, you know, they play on the edge up there a little bit in that league in terms of some tackles and stuff like that. So he's not sure he got stuck in, but was really, really good. Good combinations, him and Barrett. So really good. But the two in midfield of Kieran McElroy and
Henry Francis.
Yeah. Were absolutely outstanding as well. So a lot to like about Shells. It feels like Shells need to play on top of the pitch, if you know what I mean. Good weather, all of that stuff. They're a really nice, tidy team. So I'm really impressed with them, with two exceptions. One is they'd about 9-10 corners, not a threat whatsoever. And in modern football, you've got to be. And the second thing is ran out of ideas when Waterford got that goal a little bit. So there'd be the two concerns from Joey. But ultimately, I'd imagine, in one sense, he's happy enough in terms of how good they played. So really, really good performance from them at times.
Good, good. And yet, despite Shell's been the team that got most of the praise from you there, that's a decent point and a decent start for Waterford, Vinny.
Yeah, it really is. I have to say, as I said to you, for 45 minutes, I thought they were really poor. Really, really poor Waterford. Lacked ideas. I wasn't sure how they were playing. Shape of the team was not good. They allowed Shells just like constantly diagonal the ball, moved the ball from side to side. Both wing-backs for Shells caused them all sorts of problems. And it just turned, there was a triple substitution, to be fair to John Doherty. that changed the game. It gave them energy, particularly Glenfield in midfield, who I like for what he does. Just the hassle, hurrying. So he's on the pitch 30 seconds. He goes and closes down the Shelbourne defender, doesn't let them out easily. And ultimately then, ball goes to the other side and he win a free kick. Probably the one and only good delivery all night from young Nolan, who was very good. Or Noonan, should I say. And a brilliant header by Tommy Lonergan. And it's good to see him scoring. Hopefully that's him sort of start to find his form, because we all felt there was a really good player coming with him. Great header at the front post. And then it could have went either way. Shells, as I said, ran out of a little bit of ideas. But Waterford, I think John Daly would be really happy with that point. Albeit he could have stolen it one or two occasions. But yeah, he'd be very, very happy with that. There's a lot to like about Waterford as well. A lot of, if you think of this time last year, over the last 2 years, a lot of English players, a lot of people on loan from clubs. There's a real League of Ireland feel to it. I think that will help them, believe it or not. They can still bring in the odd player on loan, as they're capable of doing with their ownership there. But that League of Ireland sort of group mentality have, I think, will help them.
Yeah, I saw the header, like you say, Vinny. It was an absolutely cracking header from Lonergan, and likewise, a brilliant ball in from Noonan. One of our regular callers last year was a big Shells fan, a guy called Shane Kennedy. So I'm hoping we get Shane on tonight. Hopefully he's probably on the road like yourself, heading back to Dublin from there. Just coming back to Shells, Vinny. I'm looking at the personnel on the field. So it was a 3-5-2 with Dickie and Mbang up either side, and Wood playing in behind the front two then.
Yeah, so Wood played like that number 10. Tens now are so structured, as you know, but he was given the freedom of the park. It was almost like being back in my school by days where you hope the manager gave you the 10 jersey because you're allowed to go and play everywhere. And he did that. And he was very, very good at times, turning up in different pockets of space. Shells got into crossing positions all night long. They were really, really good getting into wide areas. I'm a fan of Meepo, and I like John Martin. His goal is a really good finish. It looks like nothing, but you know yourself, when you just pass one into the back of the net, they're the simple ones, but really good finish. But so often Shells get into crossing positions, and the movement in the box was not good enough. I think someone's got to sit down with Meepo and show him maybe that run across the front post and stuff like that. It's an area of improvement from, that three sort of two sitting in midfield, like at times, Daniel Kelly high on the left and Bang high on the right were a real threat, and then Wood turning up in different places. So, yeah, it just feels my biggest concern about Shells is at times I feel like they're capable of pushing if it's going to be Shamrock Rovers or Derry all the way, but you need someone who's going to lead the line for you. And if not, Wood and Jarvis better get 10, 15 goals between them. And that's why I put an importance on set pieces, Shane. You know, scoring 10, 11 goals from set pieces is a huge thing. And you don't look a big team. You look a technically outstanding team. But set pieces, boys, I feel you've got to do a little bit better. So there's a huge amount of positives, but a couple of areas of improvement. And to be fair to the coaching staff, they've been very clever with set pieces over the last year or two. They're going to have to be this season.
And come here on that threat that you spoke about at up at the top of the field. I see a double change with about 25 minutes left. Two names that one we know a lot about, another we know less about, but I'm hearing a lot of positive talk. So they brought in Freitas and obviously the return of Will Jarvis as well with 25 left. Look, I know it's only 25 minutes, but what did you make of the two lads when they got on the field?
Jarvis is Jarvis. I mean, he'd one or two. He came on for Daniel Kelly in that sort of left sort of position, a little bit higher, obviously. Wasn't expected to track back as much. But he'd one moment of brilliance where ball came to him and he just shaped the shoot with his left foot, let it go across his body. Defender jumps in. He just tried to bend one into the far corner and ultimately went wide. So, it's early. There wasn't a lot in the game at that stage. It was a bit end-to-end. But Jarvis is Jarvis. I think he ultimately will be a huge signing for them. You can imagine, that's why I felt they would look at that sort of shape of a you might see them ending up with sort of two number 10s in the sense of Harry Wood and Jarvis, maybe. I'm playing that third, but the box midfield, four midfield and one up front if you get the right personnel up front. But Freitas looks a good player. He got in a couple of times. Wasn't a lot to judge him on, to be fair, and the pitch was heavy and different bits and pieces. But it's early, but I like the look of the bench. I like the look of the squad. I've touched on a few negatives, but there's a lot to like about Shelbourne tonight. After 55 minutes, that's the most impressed I've been from a team starting the season like that in a long, long time. But they left 2 points behind them.
Brilliant. Well, right on cue, a new year, but same old reliables. We have Shane Kennedy. I'm just going to try and connect through to Shane here and see if he can hear us. Shane, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you, yeah.
Hey, listen, brilliant to have you back on again, Shane. Super stuff. Fill us in, Shane. Give us your synopsis on first night back at it.
Yeah, we probably didn't deserve the draw, but we probably didn't do enough to win it either. Like, I came away from it a bit disappointed, but then you say, did we have enough chances to go and get the second goal? They kind of grew back into it. And to be fair to Tommy Larrigan, he won headers all night. Turned around and said it to me, mate. I was like, there's another header he's had to win. So it was no surprise that he got his head on a free kick. We dominated the ball, and bar that 5 minutes where they made the changes, we just didn't really adapt to that a little bit. We were kind of a bit open, and the bang does something stupid. The man's going nowhere, stands him up and just gives away a stupid foul. But dominated the ball. We looked like a team that's going to be up there, like, you know, absolutely. I thought Casey was very well. I don't know if Vinny spoke about him before they came on. I thought he was super impressive.
Yeah, he had a lot of praise for him, Shane. You were equally impressed with him, were you?
Yeah, he looks like a proper defender. He didn't, Ledwidge was bombing down the left. He was kind of sitting as kind of more kind of natural centre half, and he was kind of making like the smart tackles when he needed it, or he'd play, and he has a left foot as well when he needs to use it. I was super impressed with him, although like the lads did lose a lot of headers to Tommy up front, which was kind of a worry, and another set piece. I thought we'd kind of get rid of that, but not to be. I thought the Portuguese lad that came on was terrible tonight.
Really? Yeah, you won't write
long. Yeah, I thought he was terrible.
5 minutes though, I'm sure.
I wouldn't do that, but he wasn't what we needed. We needed to bridge the gap between midfield and attack, and he didn't really do anything.
Vinny was outlining the shape, Shane, the kind of 3-4-1-2 approach. What did you think of the shape tonight? I know you're kind of involved in coaching yourself. You're probably keeping an eye on that. What did you think of it?
Same as last year. Harry Wood looks way more energetic on the back end of kind of last season. We thought McEnroy was the best player on the park. Jack as well. Jack Henry Francis' football brain is so clever. He's a bit light in the jewel, though. He kind of, everything wants to go forward. But I thought one thing that we don't, which we'll probably do, is we switched it down to 4-4-2 when we needed it. And we got the two lads on. But the only thing I'd say is that Swedish fella is very similar to Jarvis. He didn't really offer very much. He cut in off his left and he couldn't really kick it with his left properly for a chance. Like, I don't know, they're going to be quite similar players. Maybe I would have brought a Caffrey on who's a bit more better with against the park bus instead of that kind of Swedish fella, and he's good left foot. Look, a squad's massive, and we have we're going to adapt to the pitches, the opposition. So some, I think Joey's definitely done a lot since he's come in.
Well, listen, Shane, with a full week's training back in him, like, you would imagine Will Jarvis has to come into this side. You know, obviously there's plenty of games, there'll be lots of chopping and changing, but Vinny seemed to indicate there that he kind of nearly came on in a wing-back role, a nearly straight swap for Daniel Kelly. What way would you like to see the lads going about getting the most out of him this year?
Oh, I thought we completely changed the 4-4-2. I thought Ledwidge went to left back and then Gannon came on at right back. I thought we kind of just left Jarvis high up the pitch. And we got booked. To me, we played 4-4-2. I think he cannot play wing back. Notts County threw him out because he didn't want to run back. Fans were like, he doesn't want to run. He can't play wing back. It's going to have to fit him into the team and he's going to have to play. And I do agree, maybe if we go 3 at the back, still, he could be that inside 10, but I don't think he really wants to do that. The only place I could potentially see him in a five at the back is up front. But with Meepo and Jarvis up front, they're just going to have zero press, like, so, you know.
And Shane, before I let you go, before I let you go, general hopes and thoughts for the season ahead and the business you've done in the off season.
Look, it'd be stupid me to come on here and say after that signing that we shouldn't be looking to compete now. That's what we. Yeah, I was going to play it down. You have to be like Rovers. You'll probably touch on them. We don't fear them. We fully agree with Vinny. You hear them say it on the pod. You can't fear them. There's 12 days left in the window. The Gunners look at 30 tonight, but like, it's not the worst draw in the world. But yeah, we have to go and compete. You don't have to win the league, but you have to challenge, I think.
Yeah, Vinny, you would have to expect not just jump to conclusions on the back of tonight's performance or anything, but given the signings they've made, as you say, a big, you know, shelling out a few quid for Casey, you know, say it wasn't cheap getting Jarvis back. It really does. They really have to kind of be in that picture with your Rovers and your Derry, really, don't they?
Yeah, I think they are. And I think we wait and see on Pats. They've done their business quietly. They might be surprised a few people this season. But I think the one thing, the point Shane just made there is, I think you have to, Shane, my belief is you have to go and win a league. I don't think you can wait for it to happen. And that's why I make the point of, can they outscore teams? Like, Rovers are there to be shot at. When I say I don't fear them, I still think they're the best group. I think they've the best starting 11 in the league. But somebody has to come along and shoot the lights out. And that's why tonight, Shells have left 2 points behind them. It's only the first game. It's only, you know, a long, long way to go. But they've left 2 points behind them. And going and getting that second goal or third goal when you are so dominant is what really, really top teams do. And that's the only sort of thing that's niggling away at me. That striker or them forward players that go and kill a team, you stand on the throat and you go and win. Once you get that second goal, I don't think Waterford get back into it. And that's my fear for the Shell team. Candy on air, somebody, I know John Martin scored today, but... And John is a streaky fella. He might score 3 or 4 goals and then he might score for a few weeks. Can they get someone in the forward area to get to 15-odd goals? I think that's huge for them if they're going to win a league title. And that's the biggest question mark I have on them.
Shane,
I think Chuck Norris was a massive loss tonight. In terms of getting up and down the wing and the Dickie with his left foot, he doesn't really have it. And compared to King, I'm not really a fan of it. If you get to the blue line, Meepo will feed off wing-backs that get to the blue line and cut back. Like, there's no cut back off Dickie tonight. Everything is inside. So that would be my only... If we get him back, we'd like to see Meepo get a few cutbacks.
I felt sorry for Daniel Kelly a little bit. Sorry, Shane, tonight. Okay. I mean, he's done really well in the first half in terms of... He still had that ball, Paddy Barrett, the Doyag. Casey has a bit of that Doyag as well. And Daniel got himself into a lot of good positions. But, I mean... He doesn't have a left foot. He swung one cross in that was really dangerous and bang got at the end of it. That aside, he's not got that. That's not a strength in it, of his game. So I felt for him a little bit. No doubt Norris was a huge loss on that side. So that's a fair point, you know.
Shane, listen, brilliant to have you on again. No doubt we'll hear from you plenty over the course of the year.
Cheers, lad.
Thanks a million. Talk to you.
Thanks, and thank you.
Great stuff. Now, we tried something once or twice last year that worked quite well, which was to have two fellas on at the same time and who are the opposite ends of a game that was played. So we'll try it here with Aaron Deering, who is a Sligo fan, and Marty, who is a Derry fan. And hopefully they won't come to blows, all going well. Are we able to hear me, lads? Aaron and Marty, can either of you hear me there?
Yeah, I can hear you, Shane.
Great stuff, lads, great stuff. Like I say, we'll try and have this conversation without two of you abusing the life out of each other, so we will. But Aaron, listen, Sligo struck first, so we'll let you strike first here. What did you make of the game from a Sligo perspective?
I'm happy enough overall. Probably sat back a bit too deep in the second half, but I mean, at the end of the day, Derry are way ahead of what we'd be competing with. So I'm happy enough with what we've shown in the first 90 minutes. Obviously, Troy wasn't registered in time for tonight, so he'd be, you know, a striker to come in, which would give you a bit of a different option there in the second half. But Jad Adeeke, obviously picking up exactly where you left off from last season, in good form. Obviously, new signings to come in there that were kind of gelling, Nolan, etc. So overall, happy enough. I mean, with the amount of money Derry are spending, they'd want to be winning tonight. So I'm happy enough.
See, there's the first dirty dig now straight away. So it is. But yeah, look, it's a pity. I actually only found out Jed Hadiki, a man who went to the same secondary school as myself, Vinny will know it. They're Marion College. Vinny had a couple of Marion College boys. I think Dickie Kelly and Sean Gannon are both Marion College boys as well. But he looks a good player, Aaron, doesn't he?
Oh, he does, 100%. Like, I mean, obviously, Elding took a lot of the limelight last season, but Jad had probably equally enough of a good season. So I think this year, obviously with Elding gone now, he'll have more of the spotlight on him. So I think we'll be doing well to hold on to him until the summer when it comes around. But the lads digged in there tonight. You couldn't really fault them on effort tonight.
Yeah, Sam Sargent was good for you there for a long time, in fairness, wasn't
he? Yeah. Oh, look, Sargent is one of those goalkeepers that you're happy to have him in net. We're probably lacking maybe at the centre-back part, in the sense, obviously, Ollie and Gareth McElroy went well tonight, but you just fear if they picked up an injury, you probably don't have enough cover there. But look, obviously, we only lost McLean himself to Derry only a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, there was a couple of blows late on into transfer window. But look, you know, we might pick up a free agent here and there before our own kind of transfer window closes. But
yeah, very true. Marty, it looked for a long time like it wasn't going to happen for you. But by God, when they came, they were two absolute crackers.
Absolutely, yes. I thought we were just very nervous tonight, Shane. We looked really nervous at the start. There's a lot of expectation in Derry at the minute. So I thought nerves were playing big time. And in fairness, we grew into the game. Yeah. And they grew into the game towards the end of the first half. Dominated the second half. I've nothing bad to say about Sligo, by the way. Sligo are absolutely brilliant. Sorry to see them lose. They put in such a shift. But, you know, at the same time, I think if we had even drawn this tonight, it would have killed a lot of momentum. So, you know, fair play to Sligo, but to get the win.
Yeah, it was important, very important for him to get off to a good start. A couple of conclusions I probably jumped out, things I noticed, just to get your take on it. I thought both full backs were absolutely excellent for you in terms of raiding forward. They seemed to be constantly in the final third of the field and looked really dangerous. Bannon obviously with a cracker of a goal, but Hoff Lemon was equally threatening off the other side. I was a little bit surprised when you let Boyce go, but having seen that Bannon's performance, I can understand that they look like two quality players for you.
Oh, absolutely. Like Brandon Fleming, he must be the best left full in the league now. Like, he was sensational towards the end of last year and he's kept that going. Bannon is good, but he's more of a centre back. He's just really filling in there. I think we're in the market. I think Barry Cotter was heavily linked, and I'm told it's that they're falling through at kind of the last minute. So I think they are definitely looking to bring in a right back. Like, Cameron Dumigan would be our first choice, but unfortunately for the last few years he just cannot stay fit. So Bannon, good player though, of course, but I think we are looking to bring in an actual out and out right back.
Vinny, I might bring you in. Obviously you had Cam, I know he kind of bounced between right full and holding midfield. Do you think Derry need to go and strengthen in that area? You know, is Cameron a full, like Marty says, a fully fit Cameron for the season would probably do the job for you there. But maybe with the injury track record, is that the one area that you'd look at Derry at the moment to think they could do with another body in?
Yeah, I think so. I think particularly with the way I only seen a bit of the game tonight. Obviously, I was working in the other game, but bit on the screen. I like that shape of 4-2-3-1. I think it really suits that front three. that play behind Thomas. So you do need, Shane, you know my beliefs on fullbacks. I think they're the kingmakers. And they don't need to be brilliant, but what they need to do is be able to get to the end line just to occupy people. Bannon is a bit more of a centre-half, I get it, but that seems to be, like, Tiernan at different stages has played four centre-halves across the back, it's something he likes. I think Fleming coming in is probably the best left-back in the league. He's been absolutely outstanding back end of last season, start of the season, it seems quite well as well. So, if you could get one better, it would make a huge difference in my field. So, I would try and get a right-back in, but it's not easy at this time. You know yourself, it's so hard. You're sort of scrapping around for lads, and you don't want to make a mistake either. So, look, if it has to be, sometimes the way a lot of people go is you'll hold on to Banning when you're playing and you'll keep him a little bit tucked in because of the nature of the way he plays the game, more of a centre-half. And that allows Fleming on the other side to give you a bit more of a attacking threat. And what that means is you're solid at the back with the back three. And Tiernan does like to have a solid sort of defensive shape about him. So it may just suit the manager to play that way. But I think that's the one, I wouldn't say weakness, but certainly an area of improvement for them. And albeit there was times tonight, from what I was hearing, they weren't brilliant at the start. It's a great start to the season for them.
It is, yeah. And I might get Bodhi, lads, to give a bit of a rundown on what you made of the new faces. I'll stay with you, Marty, first. I suppose the comment I'd make on Thomas for me was, like, he should have had the ball in the back of the net long before he eventually did have the ball in the back of the net. But that's a great sign. He never let the miss. I mean, there was a miss there where I think it was Clark put a brilliant ball across the area and he didn't get a firm enough connection. The other one wasn't so much a miss. It was just an outstanding save by Sargent. But he stayed coming. The head never dropped. And he eventually got his rewards. What did you make of him? And I suppose equally, Clark, and I suppose we'll eventually come on to the big name, Mr. McLean, and see what you thought of him as well.
Well, yeah, you know, I think I would have watched a lot of Josh Thomas last season, and we kind of knew what we were getting, someone who was like physically exceptional, but we'll need like maybe five chances to score one goal, and that was the case tonight. He had a very bad miss, the one you were talking about. It was a great save, but the keeper stayed on his line. He had the whole goal and he just fired right at him. That was a really, really bad miss. And he kind of took the hardest chance he got tonight. Yeah. But again, like, we knew what we were getting there. He's physically brilliant. Like, he's unstoppable, really. Last week in Tala, like, he absolutely rinsed Pico Lopez several times. And I'm really happy with him. Like, you know, but he will need a couple of chances. We know that. James Clark is brilliant. He's like a battering ram. Ball sticks to him. He just drove it all night. Really happy with him. McLean, like, it's hard for me to say it about McLean yet, and it's sacrilege, I suppose, up in Derry for me to say it. I'm bad about him, but I don't think he's a centre midfielder. Like, he doesn't have, you can tell he's never really played there tonight. Like, he didn't keep the ball ticking over. He was very slow to get his passes off and stuff like that. He didn't really have great vision. He wasn't that bad. Now, I'm not saying like acting bad against him, but like, he's definitely being played out of position, which is an obvious thing to say. We know that, but. And obviously, Brandon Fleming is nearly our best player. So we brought him in, and yes, where is he going to play? Like, we were always wondering that. Then he kind of surprised everyone in Tala by showing up in centre midfield. He played there again tonight, but I'm not too sure if he's going to be kept there, but he's definitely not a natural centre midfielder. Maybe he can grow into it during the season. Other signings, Mark, he's obviously very sharp. We know how good he is, and all the new faces at the back. Like, our goal, we can see that tonight was absolutely outrageous. Like, it was one of the worst. It was schoolboy defending. And there are some concerns that if we do fall apart this year, if we don't win it, it will be at the back, because we've let go of Todd, Connolly and all. And I'm not convinced that we've brought in better players. Like, especially Sam Todd, I thought was one of the best in the league last year. And but yeah, that's the lowdown now.
Fair play.
Yeah, Shane, just a quick one on that, Shane. Just on Thomas. A bit of a contradiction, like, where a field shells need someone to go and, you know, get 10, 15 goals. What Thomas does is he runs the channels, he works centre halves, he, you know, never gives you a moment, and he mightn't be the most prolific goal scorer, but what he is capable of doing is creating pockets for the people behind him by occupying centre half. So Duffy, Clark, and have that little bit of space. So that's where he's the kingmaker. But the point well made. It feels like Derry might need one more centre-half in. He did just keep that door closed. So
yeah,
that's what I like, Thomas. I like what he does for Tim.
Oh, that makes sense. And Aaron, on your side of things, who would you had a Sua, I suppose, would have been making his debut, would he? Was it Nolan's debut as well? What did you make of the new faces in for you?
Yeah, Asua looks the real deal anyways, a fullback. Nolan kind of patches of good play, patches of bad play, but he's kind of the type of player that will, over the long haul, hopefully Russell will probably get the best out of him, a young player like that. But yeah, look, I mean, other than that, Mikkelsen came on second half, only seen about 20 minutes of him, so I'd like to see more of him maybe in games going forward. But in fairness, I was impressed with Darragh Patton tonight, one of the next kind of probably young players to come through, along with Gareth McElroy at around centre-back. So, yeah, look, I mean, that's kind of the resources we're dealing with in comparison to other clubs. We're relying on our kind of youth players coming through to fill the starting 11 as well. So, and they'll always get that chance, especially under John Russell. So okay, we just kind of have to wait and see. But I'm kind of positive overall of where we're going. I just think, you know, maybe 8th or 7th probably again will be a good enough season for us, considering we kind of had to rebuild again with some of the late transfer activity where to get rid of where some players left. So yeah,
fair play. And tell me, Aaron, just very quickly, just because it's a player I used to know when he was a very young fella. I know he didn't feature tonight, but I don't know if you've seen much of him in pre-season. Has there been much made of Carl McHugh? Did he play much in pre-season? Is he a guy you'd expect to feature for you this year?
No, I haven't seen him myself over pre-season. I didn't get to any of the games and didn't get a chance, but from reports I've heard, he's, you know, that kind of solid number 6. And now I've seen one or two fans say maybe he probably should have come on with the last 20 minutes when we were kind of sitting back. He might have given us a bit more kind of structure in the midfield. But yeah, look, I mean, I think one of the things from last year, especially with the kind of poor start that we got off to in the first, what was it, 12 games or something, didn't have too many wins or whatever, but we didn't we're probably a young squad. So obviously Carl coming in, he's 32, he has that experience along with a few others that have been added to the squad this year. It might give us just that bit of edge to pick up those extra few points in the early start of the season. So
brilliant, brilliant. Aaron, Marty, thanks a million. Super lads again. I hope to hear plenty of the two of you as the season goes on. Thanks a million for jumping on.
Thanks, Shane.
Cheers.
Shane, could I just say best of luck with Wexford, right? My father's from Derry, but my mother's from Wexford, so I'll be supporting you for the Wexford gig now this season. So best of luck with that as well.
Fair play, Marty. Thank you.
And congratulations as well. Sound.
Brilliant. Talk to you later. Vinny, just to come back to a point there that Marty raised, what have you made of the redeployment of James McLean as a whole midfielder? Does it surprise you? Did you expect it? What do you think his chances of success in that role are?
It did surprise me in one sense, and another sense is it's okay to get your best players onto the pitch. If Michael was going to play off the left in that formation, well, then getting James in a different position is fine. And as I said, Fleming has been outstanding. So, look, the advantage James has is we've seen a lot of players come back from England after having brilliant careers. James had an outstanding career, you know, over 100 caps for Ireland. But the difference is you think of some great players like Stephen McPhail was absolutely outstanding career in England. And a lot of them found it difficult when he came back, and it didn't go as well as you think. One of the advantages James has is his fitness levels are off the chart, so he can get around the pitch, and he's not relying on his guile and his skill. And sometimes in our league, fellas come back and he can get lost a little bit because of the intensity of the league and different. But James has such fitness levels that I think he can adapt to most roles in that Derry position. He was impressive enough last week against Shamrock Rovers, albeit, you know, Rovers mixed the match. So time will tell, Shane. but he can certainly play. You know, you could see at different stages Michael maybe being moved into a different position to allow James go there, etc., etc. But he's a quality operator, so you can't achieve what he's achieved and not understand the game. So he's not far off the championship player playing in our league, so he's got something about him, and I think he'll do well no matter where he plays.
Yeah, hard not to see him being a success long term in there. Just to briefly give listeners a quick overview on the one game we haven't touched on. So Galway United 0, Drogheda 1, an outstanding opening night result for Drogheda. From the bits and bobs I've seen and from looking at some of the stats, seems to have been a smash and grab. I know we did get a couple of Drogheda callers on last year, so if we do have anybody who was at that game from either Galway or Drogheda, we'd love to have you on. David Hurley, normally so reliant from the penalty spot, he won't mind me saying, unfortunately, struck an awful penalty tonight. Put it about a yard or two wide of the post. It wasn't even remotely close to going in. And like I say, normally so reliant from the penalty spot. And then, as often is the case, when you do miss a penalty like that, heading into injury time, and Godden pops up with an injury time winner for Drogheda. A long throw. I don't know if any of our listeners have the chance to see it yet. It's definitely a pre-rehearsed move, Vinny. You'll love it when you see it. What happens is they have a throw in the final third of the field. Godden initially goes to that area where you're going to try and win the flick on, but as the ball comes, he actually spins out of that area and leaves it to the other Drogheda player. And when he spins out of that area and comes to the edge of the 18-yard box, nobody goes with him, which means when Drogheda do manage to establish a possession of it, they're able to set it back to him and he strikes it first time. So Kev Doherty will be absolutely delighted with both that result and that goal, because it's definitely a pre-worked pattern from their perspective. Super, super result for them. I did my usual Vinny during the week and tipped them to finish bottom of the league. It's nearly a running joke with me now at this stage that I tip them every year just because of the budget and because of the wonders he's constantly asked to work, and every season he makes an idiot of me. Fair play to him. Great start for them tonight.
Yeah, I didn't. I don't tip them. I tipped Galway to finish the bottom of the season just on the recruitment, and it just doesn't look like. But then that's underestimate the quality of John Caulfield. But I just probably fear for Galway a little bit. I think Drogheda will be comfortable in mid-table. He will push for them European spots, in my view. That's a great start for them. Just get up and running, and it just builds momentum. As you said, it's no shock they score off a second phase of a set piece. That's what they're so good at. They keep it alive. Those three centre-halves normally win the first one, and if they don't, they keep it alive. So the player that scored comes in from Walsall as well. The value of that multi-owner chip is there for all to see, you know, plays out that way. So, look, I get a lot of stick around Drogheda, and rightly so, I deserve it. I have been a little bit critical of bits and pieces of them, but I only say what I see. But the job they're doing there is remarkable, like, you know, it really is. And I think they'll be really comfortable this year. Shane Kev has a huge thing to do. We can't forget Dara Doyle in that part as well. I'm sure he has an influence on a certain amount of those set pieces. So good luck to them. I think we all wanted them to finish in the European spots last year after what happened to them. Hasn't happened. It's going to be even more difficult, you feel, this year for Drogheda to go and break that ceiling. But I don't certainly fear for them. I think Doyle coming back to them as well is a huge signing. He's a real Drogheda signing as well, isn't he? He's got that street footballer element to him. Yeah. And you think he'll come up with big moments for them throughout the season.
Yeah, very much a fan's favourite last time round, and likely to be the same again. We're going to bring on another, great to see so many of the faces from last season getting back involved. So we're going to bring in another one of our regulars from last year. Gavin Smith regularly jumped on with us on a Friday night. Gavin, you're back again. Fair play to you. Can you hear me?
Okay, hey, no, I can't say no.
Gavin, brilliant stuff. Tell me, what were you watching tonight?
I was watching nothing because I'm going to the Fever Stadium on Sunday.
Ah, good man. You're a Bulls fan, isn't that right, if I remember?
Yes.
Great, great stuff. What do you make of Bulls' chances, I suppose, Sunday and more broadly for the season ahead, Gavin?
Well, I think the players who got in are very good signings. But I'm just worried about Douglas Dez Taylor. If we could keep him fit for the whole season, I think he would score a lot of goals, but it is in and out of the team. That's the problem I have, because we both need a struggle who can score 15, 20 goals a season, who can pop up. Look, I want to say chance for the league, but the chance again for Europe, because that's so big. The aim is trying to get European football again, because if we don't, I think the money we spent will be just be a complete waste.
Yeah, very true. Is there's talk that Douglas James Taylor is going to miss the start of the season. Is there? Did you hear anything along those lines, Gavin?
I haven't yet, no, but I think we saw be pass on Sunday, because I don't feel pass this season, because pass haven't done any business to say pass are got you like talents for Europe or talents for the league. So
you're confident of a good result Sunday, so are you?
Hopefully, because I would have two difficult away games on the road, away to Sligo and then away to Derry. So if we could beat Pass on Sunday, that would be a great start to the season for those two difficult games on the road.
Yeah, no, it certainly would. You've done a bit of interesting business. We had Marty obviously talking about the loss of Todd from up in Derry. You've also brought in the big American Hickey. Vinny, what have you made of Bo's business in the off-season, and what's your expectations for them, I suppose?
I think the two things just touched on there. I think James Taylor looks like he's picked up a bit of an injury. That seems to be the word. So I imagine it's touch and go. Can he score that I feel they need? They've had, you know, from midfield up, Shane, I think they've been excellent over the last 2 years. They're as good as anybody. When Clark played as that false nine for them last year, I thought they were brilliant to watch. James Taylor didn't score enough goals for me, but I know there's goals in him. I just wait and wonder when they're going to come. So that's the big challenge, same as so many other teams. And then defensively, you know, I like Kavanagh, but it feels like he needs an outstanding experienced player beside him. Have they fixed their defensive issues? I don't know. We're about to find out. Like, so, look, Diallo's a brilliant signer for them. Alongside, it releases the boy a little bit. He'll go probably play like an eight, box to box. They've certainly improved, but have they improved in the right areas, i.e. a centre-half or two centre-halves? I'm not so sure. We're about to find out.
Yeah, go on, Gavin.
On the part of James Clark, I was kind of worried we lose James Clark. Like, we did offer him a new contract, but the problem was that I think David offered him that big money, and that's why we lost James Clark, because for me, I'm very worried how we got to cope with James Clark.
Yeah, well, I think Gavin, all the talk was that I think he was all but a done deal to head to Scotland and to Dundee, but I think Philip O'Doherty apparently made a late play for him at, by all accounts, so late that Clark was already over there and was getting ready to sign forms, and by all accounts, yeah, Philip O'Doherty came in with the checkbook and made a late play and that turned him back in Derry's direction, which is a
I agree with Finney's. That Bowes are just like at the back, because we need like an experienced league advanced centre half, which we don't have, because my lad, what's his name again, who played on the Philly Post with Dundalk, or can't think of his name.
That what, sorry?
The lad who played with the dog with Philly Post, who scored a screamer against Rovers all those years ago.
Jordan Flores.
Right.
Yes.
I think he's on his last legs. He was a great player, but I think this season could be his last year in a boat, so, because I think his legs are beginning to go now.
Yeah, well, Jordan had a bit of a transformation, I suppose, in that Vinny would have used him at centre mid primarily, but obviously since he's gone to the Bows, he's ended up at left back more often than not.
And that's not his position, because that every year a cry for Pat Freddy on the board to go out about like a left back with Lee Evans being so who could play left back. And I think Balfour was playing that left back, because when he's up against players with pace and quality, he gets exposed so many times, and I feel bad for him.
Yeah, there has been criticism last year at times, Vinny, of the fullback areas for Bowles. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think, but to be fair, Shane, and I mean this is the nicest possible way. Remember, I signed Jordan. He never had much legs anyway. But he's a clever footballer. He gets himself into good positions. He's done a good job defensively for Bowes, to be fair. And, you know, he's done a good job as an attacking fullback. He's got a wand of a left foot, as you know. And something I probably didn't see myself, but you get a sense he's come a bit of a leader around that dressing room. You know, he's grown into that role. He's captained them at different stages. So, yeah, look, I think that's fine. I think so many teams are crying out, Shane, for really good fullbacks. I think that's part of the problem with a couple of teams. There's a bit of a shortage of them. There was probably a lot of them around. So they're in the same boat. Everybody's searching for, you know, you think Bowles used Morahan, didn't he, at right back a lot last year, because they were searching for somebody in them positions. So I think a lot of teams are in that boat.
Yeah, makes sense. Gavin, thanks very much for jumping on with us again tonight.
Thank you.
Great stuff. Vinny, we've touched on the majority of teams there. I suppose coming back to Sunday, we spoke to Gavin there about Bowes and his expectations for Bowes. We haven't really touched a whole lot on Pats. It's been a strange off-season. Like, you go back 12 months. This time last year, all the talk really was Pats. You know, Stephen had an outstanding finish to the previous season. They'd made some signings that looked very exciting. It seems to be a very kind of different feel about them heading into the start of this year. What's your expectations for them, I suppose, Sunday and beyond that?
Yeah, I'm fascinated to see how they line up on Sunday, first and foremost. I've nothing to base this on, other than a bit of a hunch in terms of the sort of recruitment. I could see Pat sort of switching to a back three under Stephen this year, particularly at the start of the season. Could you see Zach Albizetti and Simon Power as two wing-backs? That would be interesting for me, because down that route, you see Nugent coming in to midfield. Him and Lennon together as a base. They were so open at different stages last year. So, if you're going to put the two of them into the team, what happens to Forrester, Max Mata up front, and Keane when fit would be exciting. So, they have the makings of a decent side. Obviously, Boyce coming in is a good sign, and they're under the radar a little bit. I think they'll improve on last year. I thought they were overrated at the start of last season in terms of people were bigging them up a little bit too much. I think Stephen's fourth season, he finished like a steam train. But remember, Shane, the easiest thing to do is win games of football when there's nothing at stake. When you have to win, that's the hardest part. When you have, like Shells tonight, when you have to get them 3 points, that's when it gets difficult. You're chasing, you're leaving yourself a bit open. So it's a wait and see with Pats, but I like some of the business they've done. Rob Palmer coming back in as well, fifth this year, will help them in midfield. I thought they were really short in there last year. And ultimately, they struggled. And again, going back to fullback, they struggled in the fullback area last year. So that's why I have just a hunch they may look at playing some wingbacks at different stages this year, you know?
Yeah, that will be interesting to see. Probably, obviously, look, Mason Media, outstanding season for him last year. And brilliant to see a young talent before he heads across the water. They brought in Max Mata in that area. Can he go somewhere to fill in the void? I suppose really what they need is they probably need to get more out of Keane this year. For a guy who obviously was outstanding a couple of seasons back, I don't think he got anywhere near hitting those heights last year. They probably need either himself or Mata to really, really step up and become the main focal point at nine with Mila moving on.
Yeah, you would have to question the amount of injuries they've had, Shane. Whether that's down to whatever that's down to, you know, the one person I do know in football is Steven, so he will definitely be scratching his head trying to come up with a solution to that. He hates it, players getting injured. He always hates it. He always would ask 10, 15, 20 questions of people, why? And I don't mean, for those listening, impact injuries can happen to anybody, but when you've got repeat muscle injuries or fellas not finding, like, in a fitness level, do you want to know why? So seems like they've a couple of injuries again in pre-season, which is not a good sign. So there will be a bit of head-scratching going on around there. So, look, on paper, Pats are still very, very good. Are they good enough to kick on and get back into them European spots this year? We're about to find out. But I like some of the business he's done. I think adding the likes of Nugent is a big... And go back to last year, I thought Levy was a really exciting player. Are they about to play him as a number 10 now, or are they about to give him his head and let him go play in front of a Lennon and a Nugent with that solidness behind them? That's what we're about to find out.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I really think he has to be given a run at it this year to give it a chance to establish that jersey. He looks such an exciting talent when he gets on it, plays with no fear, so direct. He could be one of the breakout stars of the season this year, I do think. If we look at the game that fell by the wayside, Vinny, I suppose they're the last two teams we'll touch on before we wrap it up for the night. You've mentioned Rovers a bit, and I heard you talk about them on the pod. Look, have they strengthened? Are they better or worse than last year? I think regardless of all those questions, they absolutely start the season as the team to beat. And if you were putting the house on somebody, you'd probably still lean towards them. If I flip it to the other side, Dundalk, look, I suppose any time a team comes up, they probably do near enough start the season as favourites to go back down. But they've done a decent bit of business. Killer has started to get a very good reputation for himself as a manager after a fantastic job last year. What's your thoughts on them?
To put it in simple terms, Cairns, Cornwall, Buckley, Mullen, that spine is very, very good. That's the difference between a team being promoted. That's League of Ireland experience. That knows how to get results at different stages. You add in Horgan to that. You add in a couple of other young players you have around the place. Obviously, Kenny may or may not hit the lights, but he has the potential to do it. Stephen Leonard, they've got a lot of good young players, but ultimately I'll go back to the main point, the spine of the team. But Cairns is an outstanding signing for a team that's being promoted. So they have a chance. They're not favourites to go down this year. I think that's the difference. In my head anyway, and I think a lot of people's head, and as I repeat myself the tour time, when you sort your spine of your team out like that, it gives you a real chance, you know. So a lot of good leadership there in terms of Buckley, Cornwall. Got a good few players that can play around them as well. So I think they have a chance of staying up. But anything other than 10th is successful to Dundalk this year. You have to learn from what's happened to Cork. Going up and down. Just getting 9th is good enough. Win a playoff, survive, and just build slowly but surely and get back to what it is. It's a great footballing town. You know what it's all about, Shane. You've heard it. I call it Newcastle of the League of Ireland. It is a goldfish bowl. It is. You know, it's a long time since you got your hair cut, Shane, and I don't get it as often as I used to, but the hairdresser down there knows more about the inner workings of the club than anyone else. It's not like that most of their football clubs in the country.
Yeah, well and truly a proper football town, that's for sure. Vinny, I'll tell you, you have great reception the whole way up the road anyway. I thought you might be coming and going on us a bit, but excellent reception the whole way up, and at least hopefully it helped pass the old drive home. You mustn't be too far from home at this stage.
No, well on the road, all below the speed limit as well, Shane. So, I enjoyed my debut. I appreciate your help on it. I've been this on for a while.
Welcome to the world of Twitter. Get ready for the abuse.
Yeah, it's on the way. It's probably there already. I look forward to it. You know how much I love the abuse, don't you? You know it. There's something wrong with me. I told someone the other day, the highlight of me, it's late enough I can use the language, was about 1,000 people singing Vinnie Part is, I'll say, a banker with a W. Still the highlight of my football career the last 10 years. So.
Major smile. Well, listen, hopefully now that you've been roped in, we'll hear, see plenty more of you over the rest of the year. Fair play for jumping in after a long evening free after a cold commentary. Folks, very big thank you to those that jumped on with us tonight, both those that joined us as speakers and those that listened in tonight. Look, hopefully we can grow the community, the Late Night League of Ireland community, over the course of the season. Again, look, it will probably be one of the more accomplished regular news talk presenters in the presenting show chair next week. But I'm sure I'll be jumping on a fair bit over the course of the year myself, and likewise with Vinny and a few more of the regulars that we had. Baz, we had Shieldsy on a bit last year, would you believe, as well, Vinny?
Oh, sure, he'd do anything for attention, that fella. Jesus. Mind you, he's got a nasty injury at the moment, so we wish him well.
Absolutely. Folks, thank you very much, and good night.
Good night. Off the ball.